Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnes and your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 26th day of July, 2017. I'm so delighted to have returning to Iron Sharpens Iron as our guest today, Mike Abendroth, pastor of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, adjunct professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and author of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Preachers, and the Sovereignty and Supremacy of King Jesus, Bowing to the Gracious Despot. He's also co-host of No Compromise Radio, and today we are addressing one of his books, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron, Mike Abendroth.
Well, I'm so glad to be back on. I am in California today. I'm not in Massachusetts, but if I was in Massachusetts, I'd say, please, to live in Massachusetts where even the Republicans are Democrats.
They're the same party as far as I'm concerned.
What's so special about that?
Somebody once told me they are, the Republicans and Democrats are the same crime family, different cartel.
Well, I just got back from Europe. I spent a couple months there and was doing some Reformation 500 tours and some speaking. And inevitably, I mean, almost without fail, man, I would sit down for dinner with some Christians, maybe in Switzerland or maybe in Germany or England, and we would talk about the Lord and His Word and the Lord Jesus and theological issues. And then, you know, people say what's really on their mind for the end. And then they would look at me and say, "So what about Trump?" They wanted to know. They weren't concerned about covenant theology, hypostatic union, eschatological views. We want to know about Donald Trump. So it's fascinating.
And in studio with me is my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
Turn my mic up now, Chris. It's yellow.
Don't get used to it.
Hello. Okay, you can turn me back down now.
Mike, you said something about a dinner party, but is that what you were just talking about now, or is this something different?
Oh, it was interesting, you know, how God is just sovereignly orchestrating all kinds of things, and including this dinner banquet I went to. It was a banquet that someone invited my wife and I to, and then there was a concert afterwards. And so it was nice food. It was at Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center outside of Santa Cruz, California, and there were four of us, and so we had to sit next to four random people. And again, it's a Christian conference center, but, you know, you don't have to be a Christian, obviously, to go. And we began to talk, small talk, and it was this man's birthday next to me, and he said, "So, are you a Jesus follower or what?" I thought, well, that's an interesting way to go about it. He was not necessarily a Jesus follower, at least not the Jesus of the Bible. He was from trained by Bill Johnson in Bethel Church in Redding, California, and they had a special missionary, one man told me, at the table, and they spent the night there at his home, and then in the morning they found feathers. They said, what are the feathers from? And he said, they were angels.
Oh, boy.
So I just want you to know that my wife said, "Mike, why is it that you are the theological lunatic magnet? Wherever you go, you just try to be nice, have a nice dinner, and then all of a sudden, crazy people who exchange dreams for biblical revelation show up. And I just thought, you know, first I was kind of sad because here are these poor people essentially and functionally denigrate the Word of God for their mystical feelings. Mm-hmm. But I was right. kind of mad too, because when you place anything on par with Scripture, it just it brings out the fire in me, because that's just not proper. We are men and women, fallen creatures. Even though we Christians are redeemed, we still need revelation outside of us, because we are fallen and we can't trust ourselves. And the Reformers would talk about extra nos, outside of ourselves. And so I'm glad for your audience and the way you teach. We look not to ourselves, but we look for the Lord Jesus and his word, which is outside of ourselves. And Hebrews 1 says, in these last days, you want to know how God speaks? It's not through angel dust, pixie dust, feathers, or anything else. It's the external word of God. And I'm thankful for that.
And the Reverend Buzz Taylor has something to say.
Well, I was going
to
say, if all they left was feathers, I'd want to know who shot them.
Well, I said to my wife, I'm not against feathers. You know, I need a nice pillow and stuff like that. But if that is what you need for evidence, you know, people are exchanging this external evidence for the working of God. And it reminds me of the book of Hebrews. Can you imagine these recipients of that letter? They were tempted to go back to the tactile, sensual temple, its beauty, its grandeur, its marble, its gold, the trumpets, the incense, the sacrifices. I mean, it just had to be a marvel. And they were thinking, you know, why get persecuted when we can go back to that great temple? And the writer of Hebrews basically says, essentially says, he does say, listen, you've got Jesus. And so you've got it all. There's nothing more to be had. He is supreme. He is superior. And if you have Jesus, you've got everything. If you don't have him, you've got nothing. So it just made me be reminded again and thankful to the Lord that he has shown me we need to go back to the Lord Jesus and who he is, found in the Word and in the Word alone. And all these other people come and go, and they're just tossed to and fro. And so I just had both feelings of anger, how could people demean God's word, and then sadness. These people were just rudderless.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a providential occurrence that you even brought up those feathers, because I had just heard about a week ago from the woman who led me to the Lord 30 years ago, Susan. She told me that she was listening to Catholic radio, and there was a serious discussion, and I do highlight that word serious discussion, amongst the Roman Catholic panel, and they were talking about the sacred relics in the Vatican, and they included either a feather or feathers from the wings of Michael the Archangel.
Oh, see? There you have it. Well, I didn't see feathers when I was in Rome a few weeks ago, but I did go to a particular church, a Roman Catholic church, and in one of the little kiosks highlighted, it was Mary, and the Latin phrase is Mary destroying the heretics, and it was Mary with this large cross. It looked like almost a lightsaber, and she was destroying both Luther and Calvin and their writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but you know what? It's not advertised, but that's really what they believe. And, you know, Council of Trent has not been rescinded.
That's right. We have to keep reminding folks, because there are many Catholics and Protestants who are ecumenically minded who behave as though Council of Trent is nothing more than a relic that you can pick and choose whatever is relevant to today as binding upon the Catholic Church. But that is not true. This is a council that produced dogmas that the church for all ages, the Catholic Church for all ages, is obligated to obey. And those anathemas against us still stand, and they include the anathemas regarding the Protestant understanding of justification by faith. And I've had Catholics say to me, well, you know, I agree with you. I believe that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and that works are only a necessary fruit of that saving faith. And I said, well, even that is under the anathema of the Church of Rome. If you're a Catholic, your own church has an anathema against you, because even saying that good works are a necessary sign, but they are only an evidence or fruit of saving faith. Even that has a curse upon it from Rome.
Well, it's amazing, and I totally agree with that, Chris. Here's the amazing thing. What Catholics do, and sadly some Christians and every other religion, what they do, we would never do in a personal relationship. When you meet you're a girlfriend and you're thinking about marrying her, you do not say, you know what, I'm going to judge you for 30 years on what kind of woman you are and what kind of cook you are and what kind of host you are. And then if it meets my criteria, after 30 years, I'll think about marrying you. I'll accept after you do all these things, then I'll accept you. And Christianity, biblical Christianity, can you imagine? Justification by faith alone. God declares us, when we're saved, he declares us righteous. Christ fulfills the law for us, and God sees us as if we did that. We have imputed righteousness of Christ, forensic alien righteousness, and Christ receives our sins by imputation, and God accepts us at the very beginning. So then, to go back to the wife analogy, the wife would be free to be a host, to have hospitality, to cook, because she knows she's already loved, and she's not trying to walk on eggshells. So I feel sorry for my Catholic friends. When my grandmother was alive, Roman Catholic, how would you like to live your whole life wondering, am I accepted by God or am I not? It's a good way to grind out works, but it's an anathema for the gospel that clearly declares God justifies the ungodly, and we are thankful for that.
Amen. Well, before people start wondering if they tuned into a rerun because we're not talking about the subject that we advertise, I think we should get to our topic today, which is your book, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise. And I want to read the description that your website gives for this book. Written in NoCo style, which is an abbreviation for no compromise, always biblical, always provocative, always in that order, Sexual Fidelity's internationally arranged and 30 pungent chapters so that the readers will study one chapter per day with the hope of establishing consistent and biblical thinking about sexual purity. The book's purpose is to saturate the reader's mind on a daily basis to think correctly about sex and how it relates to Christ and his church. And I understand, Mike, that this actually developed from, this book developed from men's discipleship classes at Bethlehem Bible Church, the church that you pastor in West Boylston, Massachusetts. And this basically sprang out of father and son discussions during this this study.
Well, it sure did, Chris. And what happened was, both with the men's discipleship group and especially with my son, you know, I had the talk with my son about sex and God's design, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit later or next hour. And I said to him, listen, son, any questions you have about sex, I mean anything, you can ask me and I'll give you the answer. And we just had an open communication, very father-son-like. You know, it wasn't on the radio. It wasn't, you know, in an inappropriate place. You know, time and place is, you know, would show maturity. And so I just wanted to have a good talk with him. And one day he said, we were downstairs lifting weights and hanging out. It wasn't some kind of, you know, catechism moment. But he just said, Dad, I don't think I have the gift of singleness. And so I said, all right, son, thank you. And then I said something to him, and I put it in the book. I said, Luke, you know, I want to help you with this. God's word says much about it, and the world will educate you if you let it, but I'd like to talk to you about what the Bible says. And deep down, I have lots of goals for you. I want you to be regenerate. I'd like you to be a wise man and contribute to the work of God, to be a wonderful evangelist. But I said, I also have another goal for you, and that is to have a lot of sex. And he just looked at me like, what kind of, I've got the best dad in the world. And I said, listen, but it's in marriage. And so let's just study what the Bible says, and let's study it in light of who Jesus is as well. And that's why I almost led you with the discussion of justification of my faith alone early, because I don't want the talk about sex to be strictly moralism or what Mormons could discuss or what even Roman Catholics could discuss. There's a certain way to talk about it, and that is in the framework of all of the books of the Bible, in a biblical, theological kind of way. But that's how it started. So I began to talk to him about a variety of subjects, and then I thought, you know what? How often do I need to talk to young men and older men about this topic? Well, often I get asked to go speak at conferences. Would you please address this in a nice manner, in a non-lurid manner, in a biblical manner? And so I thought, you know what, I might as well start writing these things down so we could just pass it on to anybody that could benefit. And so that's how the book Sexual Fidelity came about.
Let me make sure our listeners have our email address if they'd like to join us. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N, that's Z as in zebra, E-N, @gmail.com. And please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And obviously, a subject like this may lend itself to people asking personal and private questions, and we are more than happy to honor your request to remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. But if it's not about a personal private matter, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. What do you think that the church at large is getting wrong when it comes to the subject? You would think it's just a no-brainer that I think most people in the United States, whether they are Christians or not, they understand that biblical morality includes monogamy and includes that sex is only for married couples, and that it's sex is only between a man and a woman. I think that even your average homosexual or person involved in that activity, or person who is just an agnostic or atheist, they have an understanding that that's what the Bible teaches, not that they agree with it. So what are we getting wrong as Christians on this subject?
Well, I guess what happens, Chris and Buzz, is we, as Christians, we either underdo something or overdo it. And, you know, if 6 o'clock is biblical theology, is a Bible's view of this theology of sex, and we're at 5 o'clock or at 7 o'clock, or we go even farther. I think you'll see with the cyclical pattern of things, you know, in the old days, maybe more Victorian, prudish, let's not talk about it. There are some commentators that I've read, even from the last 20 years, that have said it would be inappropriate to teach through Song of Solomon on a Sunday morning in a public setting for the Lord's Day worship.
Wow.
It's kind of that. Yeah, it's that attitude. Now, of course, I'm not promoting Ed Young Jr.'s Let's Bring a Bed Up on the Platform or anything. well, he did that. He brought it up. I don't call it even a platform for him. It was on a stage, and he was trying to get couples to be together on a regular basis, and then he was up on the roof. And
this is who?
Oh, this is true, Ed Young Jr.
Wow, Ed Young Jr. I used to, when my early life as a Christian, Ed Young Sr. was a part of my staple diet of TV evangelism, and I did for years really love and grow from the dad. Not that I today would agree with everything that he taught, but I think I would be largely in a lot of agreement with him, but the son seems to have gone off the rails, I guess.
I know, and you know what? I think he paved the way. How do you get attendance up and giving up and excitement for the church, at least for the men's perspective, it seems like, sadly? They'd have these 8-week series, and of course then Driscoll did it, and Driscoll became infamous with his overseas talk and some of the things he would do here in the States with this topic, including his book, which I think said way too many things. He went over the line regarding that. So we can either, to answer your question, underdo it or overdo it. So I'm trying to, in a private conversation with my son, I can talk about more specific things, but in public, in the pulpit, or here with this book, I'm trying to just go through passages of the Bible. What does Proverbs 5 say? What does Song of Solomon say? What does 1 Thessalonians say when it comes to it is God's will for your life to be sexually pure? Can you be forgiven for sexual sin? I have a chapter about how you can wear white on your wedding day, even if you're not a virgin, because how does God see you? God sees you through the perfect righteousness. Jesus was sinless in every way, including in this particular area. And so when God sees a sexual sinner who's been forgiven, he doesn't see them as that. They're not identified as that. And so I try to just say, let's go back to the Bible, because my own opinion, it will fade. It doesn't really matter. But if I want my grandkids to read it, what is a relevant truth? And that is Scripture. And that's why when I write books, I'm thinking, you know, this book should be able to be read in India, in Germany, in America, in Iceland, by Eskimos, because it is God's unchanging word. And if I throw in all kinds of modern anecdotes and cultural references to try to, quote, make it relevant, end quote, I'm just going to defeat the purpose. So just let the word of God take care of itself. Like Luther said in Wittenberg, when asked, how did he start the Reformation? Luther said, I preached and I went to bed, because the word of God did it all.
Amen. Well, this discussion on sexual fidelity could hardly be adequate if we didn't bring up a sin that seems to be plaguing especially men, although not exclusively men, and a sin that, from what I hear, is even a huge problem, not only amongst members of evangelical churches, but even pastors in evangelical churches. I don't know how these statistics are developed. I've heard Todd Friel on Wretched give some pretty alarming statistics that I wonder how on earth could he know those things. But I've heard that that pornography is a huge problem even in the pastorate in the conservative evangelical church. Is that what you have found in some way, and according to some statistics somewhere?
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I don't know if that means what, you know, liberal pastors, homosexual pastors. I mean, I don't know what they mean by pastor. It's almost like when you say, we're going to do a study and a survey of Christians. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean you're not Buddhist or Hindu? Or does it mean, you know, you're trusting alone in Jesus Christ, the God-man, you know, death, burial, resurrection type of thing? So it is an epidemic, a pandemic. I can't even research it sometimes because I've got filters on my computer and it blocks it out. You know, how do you get sex information in a holy way off the internet? You don't want all those links, and so it becomes difficult. I do know that men struggle with it. Sometimes women, but mainly men, and Christian men are struggling with pornography. And maybe I shouldn't use the word struggle. Some of them don't struggle at all. They just do it. They're remorseful afterwards, but they just do that. To say at the very top, I think the way pastors should treat this, though, is if somebody comes into your study and says, you know, I've got this problem, and it's whatever, pornography, I want to try to remind them early on that since God doesn't see them as, that's the porn guy, he doesn't identify them that way, then I'm not going to either. There's a long line of sinners in this church, and I am the foremost, and so I'm going to treat you when I see you on Sunday like another Christian who's worshiping the Savior, sinner saved by grace, and I'm not going to identify you as that because I don't think that's the way the Bible identifies you. Now, if somebody's not a Christian, of course, it's a completely different thing. But I found as I begin to talk to the men and remind them first who they are in Christ and what Jesus has done and why it's important to trust in him even now and ask forgiveness and how powerful the gospel is and how sanctification does follow justification, lots of times I think laziness, it has not much to do with sex, although testosterone is driving things. I think it has to do with Christian men, oftentimes laziness. And so I would tell my son Luke, I'd say, Luke, listen, you have testosterone, and it's knocking at your door. And what is it trying to tell you? Well, if you're playing Call of Duty Part 5 25 hours a week, you are not helping yourself, because testosterone should make you go out and say to yourself, I'd like to act in a godly way and go win a godly woman so I can just have a companion for the rest of my life, which includes having sex with my wife. That's what it's driving you to do. So if you bypass the testosterone desire for going out to win a wife and just say, I'm just going to get on the computer, to me, that's the baseline. It's laziness. So too with a man who's married, let's say they're able to have intimacy, but the man just is selfish and he doesn't want to win a wife. He obviously has the keys to her heart. He's the one who first got her to say, I do. And now he's just too lazy. He doesn't want to deny himself. He doesn't want to love her. He doesn't want to talk to her and cherish her and care for her. What's easier? Well, it's easier just to go downstairs to the computer. And so I see a lot of laziness. And people who are struggling with pornography, maybe you might want to ask yourself the question, am I lazy? Is that factoring in? So those are a couple of thoughts I have about the topic.
Yes, and well, I think that it is obvious that you have, I don't know if you ever personally had this problem or addiction or difficulty with pornography, but at least you took an initial step to prevent going in that direction by something you said. You have some kind of blocks on your computer so that you cannot view pornographic material, and therefore that is obviously a recommendation, one of, I'm assuming, many recommendations that you could offer to Christians to prevent either that sin from creeping into your life or from returning to your life. And I'm assuming that another good way, I know a lot of folks whose email addresses are identical to their wives. They have this, in other words, they share the same email address. And that might prevent those intimate, private conversations with members of the opposite sex that begin as pure and wholesome, perhaps, at least in motivation, and then have tragically turned into flirtation, and then sometimes, all too many times, manifest themselves in adulterous relationships. So there are things that we can do that are not foolproof, but that at least are roadblocks. Am I right?
Yeah, well, I think that's important because there's some of these external things we can do.
You're all muffled, brother. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Okay, how about now?
Perfect.
Okay, I put my phone to my shoulder for a second because I wanted to look up this particular illustration in my own book. By the way, I finally have a book I completely agree with 100%.
Or nonfiction.
yeah, that's right. Although it's interesting, when I first began to preach, I was preaching through the book of Mark 20 years ago, the Gospel of Jesus according to Mark, and the guys at our church didn't get it up on the website, or they lost it or something like that, and I was very bugged. It took me a long time to prepare those messages, and we preached it over a few years, and I was perturbed that those sermons about the Gospel of Mark weren't up on the website. But now, looking back and thinking about how moralistic those sermons were, and probably filled with more law than gospel, kind of hard to do, I guess, unless you're an expert like me at taking the Gospel of Jesus, according to Mark, and turning it into law. So now I praise God those sermons were lost, the lost sermons of Mark.
Now, if you could, you've used this term. In fact, it was used in a negative way on your website in regard to your book. In other words, that your book was not moralistic. If you could explain further for our listeners what exactly you mean by that.
Sure. Well, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, there's nothing wrong with saying, don't look at pornography. Be accountable. Let your wife, see your website. If she wants to see your phone, here, check the phone. I mean, I don't have a code that my wife doesn't know. She said, honey, I'd like to see your texts to people that you talk to or edit your books or, any kind of female conversation. I just say, here you go. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, the heart of the matter is the heart. And if we're just addressing things with external behaviors, then I think it's moralism or even pietism if we said, you know what, I don't look at pornography, I don't text the opposite sex, I don't search around on Facebook, I don't stare at a girl for more than 2 minutes, I don't check her out, and we have all these things that we do or don't do, and we have the list, then we could think, you know what, we're pretty spiritual. We've created a new list, kind of neo-nomian list, and we say, you know what, we do these things and we don't do these other things, therefore we're good. And I think, you know what, Pharisees were really good at lists, and their heart was far away. And so I think a lot of this has to do with the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And I would say if you're listening today and you struggle with sexual temptation, if the only thing you do is study books about sexual purity, study how to block things on your website, may I suggest you just start reading the Gospel of John and read about this great Messiah who was prophesied of old, who can change people. He can not only change water into wine, and he can not only touch lepers and heal them, he can walk on water, but he can change the hearts of people and give them new appetites and new desires. And God has not just justified us, he's also regenerated us. And he knows about struggling sinners. And he was tempted in every way as we are, yet he's without sin. And so that's why it's so important to focus on this high priest. And think even about Jesus when, you know, you have a bad prayer life. I could say, you know, how many hours you pray a day and really lay the law on pray without ceasing. And there's nothing wrong with quoting that passage in 1 Thessalonians 5. We should devote ourselves to the word and prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and Acts chapter 6. But at the end of the day, there are some things we need to think about when it comes to the Lord Jesus and who he is, and think about him even praying. The Belgic Confession. Is there anybody more powerful that you'd like to have pray for you? Is there anybody more kind that you know of, kinder than Jesus, who you'd like to have prayer for you? Well, if that's the case, that there's nobody better, aren't you glad that Jesus makes intercession for us even today, even about these things? And so I want to make sure it's a Christ-centered discussion about sexual purity and sin, not just a bunch of do's and don'ts.
And we have to go to a break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back, God willing, with Mike Abendroth and more of Sexual Fidelity right after these messages from our sponsors. Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with about 90 minutes to go, is Mike Abendroth. And we are discussing his book, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. We do have a question from Mike. From Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. He has two questions, actually. The first one is, I've come to the conviction that there is no such thing as sexual addiction, and that victory in the war with this particular sin is a matter of God-dependent discipline. What are your thoughts?
Well, sometimes we use words like addiction or I've got a syndrome or a disease or something like that. God has put it into our image that we will do things regularly, and it will become very simple for us to do. And so when you first drive a car, you have no habitual distinctives, and so you just, you know, turn off the radio, nobody talk, pay attention, hands 10 and 2, and pretty soon you drive for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and you can just drive perfectly because God has developed us and made us as habit-forming people. So I think we could have habits, and if you're watching pornography every day or something bad every day, then you will develop those habits. And it seems like an addiction, but I wouldn't call it that, because if you call something sin, then there's hope, and sin can be forgiven. Can addictions be overcome? Can addictions be helped? Maybe yes, maybe no, but sin can be overcome by the power of God and his indwelling word and union with Christ. And so I would not prefer addiction, even though I know what the world means by it.
Yeah, and I mean, couldn't the word in some sense be rightly used? I'll give you an example. I am a person who was delivered by God's mercy from drunkenness, habitual drunkenness. And there is a difference between the person who never drinks, and then one night at a wedding or on New Year's Eve or during some celebration, they get bombed out of their mind. That is still a wicked sin. But at the same time, it is different from the person that habitually every day gets drunk, like I had the habit of doing. So isn't there some way you could use the word addicted in the sense that you're not undermining the fact that it's a sin? It's not just some biochemical thing that I know that a lot of people who are drunkards and drug addicts, for lack of a better term, they use the term addict as some kind of a way to lessen the severity of their personal responsibility. They will use it as the word disease is thrown around, which I don't use, and I am opposed to people using that kind of language when they are more of a victim than a perpetrator of sin. But isn't there some place that it is appropriate to use something like addiction, just to give you the idea of the difference between somebody who gets drunk once in a blue moon and the person who is habitually drunk?
Sure. And, you know, if I wanted to put biblical words on it, I might use something like ensnared, or Galatians chapter 6, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, we might say with a synonym, addicted or enslaved to, for caught. And so I totally understand. And if somebody came to me and said, I'd like some help for my addiction when it comes to pornography or alcohol, I wouldn't say, by the way, that's not the word we use. I would say, sure, you know what, I'd love to help, and the Bible can help you, and I would love to help you in any way. And so I think I know what people mean when they say it, and I'm not some kind of stickler. I just try to move them over into other words and different kind of nomenclature, you know, unrighteousness or ungodly behavior or sin. I'm trying to think of the Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 28 that talks about the idea, and I know it's just semantics with the word addiction, but Proverbs 28 has the idea where it says in verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So if he said, you know, God, forgive me for my pornography addiction, I would just say, you know what, I'm thankful that he prayed that way. And I'm just trying to use biblical terms when I can and when appropriate.
Well, Gordy, guess what? You have won a free copy of the book we are discussing today, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise. Compliments of our guest today, Mike Abendroth, and No Compromise Radio. And also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for Bible Book Service.com. CV bbs.com. They will be shipping out that book to you, unless you are going to pick it up, since you live in Mechanicsburg and you're only about 10 minutes away from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So let us know which way you would like to receive that book. And I will ask your second question toward the end of the program, if we have time, because it is not related to our topic, but I will ask it if we have time later. And let's see, we have Daniel from San Jose, California. How far is that from where you are right now, Mike?
It's called just over the hill, just by route Highway 17, so it's about 25 minutes away.
Wow, okay. Well, I'm not going to tell Daniel your exact location, because he might ruin your vacation. Might intrude where he is not welcome. I'm only kidding, Daniel. But Daniel in San Jose, California says, can you explain the biblical commands in Scripture to be sexually pure, as well as what impurity can and does lead to? That's his first of three questions.
All right, well, the one I'm thinking about initially is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God. And it's amazing to me we have folks running around trying to find what God's will is for their life. And here's a very clear one. Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we have told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And if people say, well, you know what, I don't care about that, this is a new day, you don't understand where we are, we've evolved, I find it striking that Paul then says in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And then he goes on to talk about brotherly love. So there is a direct command for holiness and godliness when it comes to sanctification, i.e. Sexual purity. The one I think about a lot is back in Proverbs chapter 5, and Solomon basically has a three-point outline when it comes to Proverbs 5, and he tells his son this, and almost, you know, all the Proverbs at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs start off with my son. So this is a dad teaching a son, probably a younger son. And I tell people all the time, you should probably have these conversations about sex sooner than you think, because the world now is learning sooner, and kids at younger ages are understanding these things. So anyway, he says, point one in Proverbs 5, avoid sexual immorality. When it comes to sexual activity outside of marriage, run from it. Then he says, you can almost think it's almost Pauline when it's, don't do something, then do the opposite, Ephesians 4, put off, put on. Then Solomon says, I want you to enjoy sexual morality. That is, enjoy time with your wife. And then the last point is, God is watching everything you do, whether it's holy or unholy. And I really think when it comes to spouses, men who struggle in this area, they should take this to heart, where they should enjoy their wives, and discontentment comes in, or they're always looking at other people and measuring their wives against models and pixels on screens of people that don't even exist. But I love the way, with cloaked language, there's nothing inappropriate in Proverbs 5. Obviously, it's in the Bible. But just with this cloaked language, everybody understands, including Solomon. You know what? Drink water from your own cistern. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Real and rock. It's almost like inebriated with her love. Just enjoy your wife. You know, what a wonderful picture. And then we'll get to the second question. But what a wonderful picture of a man and a woman who are wed, in the name of the triune God, and they go back to their hotel room, and they get down on their knees by the bed and say, God, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for forgiveness. We're thankful you brought us together in your providence. And would you just bless this time? You're just such a great God. In Jesus' name, amen. How holy, how wonderful, how we long for that for ourselves and for our children and grandchildren. And so this is something that can be very holy and must be because God is holy. The third member of the Trinity, he's called the Holy Spirit. And so that's why there's such a demand for holiness in the Bible when it comes to sin, because the flip side with paganism, with false religions, with prostitute temple worship, with Hollywood, it's so slutty and so defaming. And so God says, this is not how you're to act because you are my image bearers.
And Daniel also asks, can you explain the process of staying sexually pure while living in a culture that celebrates sexual impurity on television, billboards, at stores, and many times within the workplace? How can we flee from such sexual immorality or temptation?
Well, that's a really great question, because in the old days, I'd say to myself, you know what, I'm not going to go get gas at a place where I have to walk in and they got a bunch of cellophane-covered, you know, smutty magazines. And then now, you know, you can at least pay outside, but you go to Germany or France or someplace where sex is basically utilitarian. That's flown over into America now. Basically, if I had to describe the view of culture's attitude regarding sex, it's utilitarian. And what I mean by that is, when you get hungry, you eat. When you get thirsty, you drink. And nobody says, I can't believe you became hungry and had that, let's see, what do they have here in Santa Cruz? That macrobiotic veggie burger. I can't believe you did that. And so the same thing now happens with sex. People say, I have this desire, I have these hormones, and I act on them. Who's to blame? Well, you know, what's the big deal? And Paul fought that in 1 Corinthians 6. And the slogan going around Corinth was, the food is for the body and the body for food. And Paul rebukes that idea because these bodies are going to be resurrected. And, you know, can you imagine living in the culture back then? We think today's bad, but how would you like to be at Corinth? And I've stood there in Corinth, and you look up at the hill, and that's where the prostitutes were for the temple. And on Friday nights, they would descend upon the city for worship, except it wasn't worship with liturgies and confessing creeds. It was for sexual immorality. How devilish is this kind of system? You want to get close to a god? Then have sex with a temple prostitute. I mean, you know, men made that up, these carnal men. And so Paul says, you know, there's a way to be sexually pure. And I think he knew the recoil was going to be in a sexually saturated culture. Christians are going to then say, well, you know what, maybe I should just abstain. I'm so used to being gross when it comes to being an unbeliever sexually, I better just stop it all. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7, remember, husbands, wives together, whether both are Christians, whether just one's a Christian, don't separate for that reason, because you think it's so nasty, because this is a God-ordained thing. And how do you survive in a world like today? I think part of it is you have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, and you're focusing on Jesus Christ. I think you have a healthy relationship with your spouse, or you're trying to win a wife. This is, you know, marriage is obviously more than a, you know, so you don't run around sexually, but it does contain that. And so we have to just be very blunt and very honest. The only way a man can, or a woman can, satisfy their sexual desires is with their wife. And so the world is going to say, obviously, that's wrong, and do whatever you want. But we cannot be people who follow Benedict option nonsense and go to cloisters and communities, because we will take our hearts with us. And so no matter how bad the world gets, I don't think it's going to be as bad as Corinth, and God still calls us to be pure.
And we're going to pick up on Daniel's third question when we return from the break. If anybody else would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we have quite a number of you still waiting, and we will get to each and every one of you as time permits. So we'll be right back, God willing, with more of Mike Abendroth and Sexual Fidelity right after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thank you.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens. to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with less than an hour to go is Mike Abendroth. We are discussing his book, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and hopefully we will have time to include you on the line of questioners that we already have waiting to have their questions asked and answered. Before I return to our subject, some of my sponsors have important events that they want you to know about. Fellowship Conference New England is being held August 3rd through the 5th. In Reverend Buzz Taylor's old stomping grounds, that's my co-host Reverend Buzz Taylor, who is formerly from, at least during a portion of his life, the Maine area. And the Fellowship Conference New England is being held at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. Speakers include Don Curran, who is the Eastern European coordinator with Heart Cry Missionary Society, an organization founded by Paul Washer. My dear friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is an author and pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Pastor Jesse Barrington, who's been on this program. He is pastor of Grace Life Church in Dallas, Texas, which is the sister church of Grace Life Church in Lake City, Florida, whose radio station airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day in a pre-recorded format. And Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who we've had on this program, he wrote the book Reviving New England, and we are going to be interviewing him, God willing, in a matter of weeks again, this time on his new book, Why We're Protestant. Pastor Nate Pickowitz is also pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. If you'd like to register for this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Then coming up in November from the 17th through the 18th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. This year it's on the theme, For Still Our Ancient Foe, obviously a reference to Satan from the classic Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress by Martin Luther. Speakers at this conference include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. If you would like to register for this conference, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, then click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. It's going to be held again at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And then we have coming up in January, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia from the 17th through the 20th on the theme, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. January 17th will exclusively be a Spanish-speaking edition of the conference, and then from the 18th through the 20th will be exclusively an English-speaking edition of the conference. Speakers include Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, our mutual friend of my guest and mine, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Tom Askell of Founders Ministries, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger of Reformed Theological Seminary, David Miller, Paul Tripp, who is going to be a guest again on this program in a couple of weeks, Derek Thomas, who I hope returns to the program soon, Martha Peace, who we just interviewed recently, who will be returning, God willing, in the near future. If you'd like to join us at the G3 conference, I will have, God willing, an exhibitor's booth there in Atlanta, Georgia. Would love to see you. The website is g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Please tell any of these organizations running any of these events, if you happen to investigate about these events or even register for them, please tell them that you heard about these events from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now I must do that unpleasant task of grubbing money from you. My advertisers that have currently been keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio afloat and on the air as long as we've been on the air, they have urged me, after many years of not making a single public appeal for donations or new advertisers, my current advertisers have urged me to come to you during a time of urgent need financially and ask you, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your local church and your family, if you have excess resources financially that you are looking to spend in ways that you believe bring praise, honor, and glory to God, if you love the Iron Sharpens Iron program, if you listen to it regularly, if you enjoy hearing the guests that I interview, well, if you have those extra funds, please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we will remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and then you will be given an address where you can make a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for any amount you choose to send us. And keep in mind, never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church. Never put your family at risk or take food off your family's dinner table by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron if you are really struggling to make ends meet. But if you are blessed above in your above and beyond your ability to do both of those things. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. And Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, there is no command to keep me on the air. But if you are able to give to us, we would love to receive a gift of any amount, as long as you do not take from those funds that you need to support your church and family. If you would like to advertise with us, please just send me an email with advertising in the subject line, asking how you can advertise your business, your corporation, your church, your parachurch, your special event on this program, your professional practice, like if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor. Well, as long as what you're doing is compatible with the theology that we expressed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I would love to speak with you about advertising. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. That is also the email address where you could send a question right now to Mike Abendroth on sexual fidelity, no compromise, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I go to the third question of Daniel in San Jose, California, Reverend Buzz Taylor had something to say in regards to some of the last comments made before the break.
Right. The question was, of course, how to deal with sexual impurity. And it's been a long time since I've preached through this text, so I'm not totally clear on it. But in Galatians 5, somewhere around verse 22, where you have the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says and I believe it's verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then he says, after a few verses, the deeds of the flesh are obvious, which are, in the very first three things he mentions, have to do with sexual sins. It's immorality, which is actual acts. And then the second one was impurity. So that was specifically what our questioner was asking about how to deal with impurity. And of course, his solution is walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And he acknowledges that the Spirit is at war with our flesh, but he also, and I think this is where I think people need to pay really close attention to the temptation or the failure to have victory over it, I should say, is that, you know, it says also at the end of that passage that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I would say if you're involved in impure thinking, and that's where, you know, you've encountered this in the world, I'm sure, many times, where there are people that no matter what you say, they can make it dirty. That's what Paul's talking about with impurity. It has to do with just a bad attitude towards something that God has made beautiful, to where everything can be made impure to that person.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I think about these deeds of the flesh, and I was reminded of Romans chapter 1, where we just watch the world as God gives them over, God gives them over, God gives them over. When I just see folks who are enslaved to that and aren't Christians, you know, our first reaction is, yeah, it's us versus them kind of thing. But even as Paul then addresses the Jewish so-called righteous ones, the self-righteous and religious ones, when we know enough to know something's wrong, then judgment comes on us too. And if we perfectly obey the law, fine. But if we fall in any way, we need Christ's righteousness as well. And I think you see that in Galatians 5 with Paul's attitude. How do we deal with sin? Well, if it's, you know, unrepentant, habitual sin, we need to evangelize people. And if people are Christians who are caught up in this sin, we ought to remember, even as it says in Galatians 6, we are redeemed people and fallen, and we ought not to forget that God has forgiven us plenty of sexual sins, even though it might not have been with our body, it might have been with our minds. And I think that's just a good reminder as we deal with Galatians 5 and 6. And so, good words, Buzz.
Thank you, Buzz. And the third question that Daniel in San Jose, California says, it's a question/comment. Lastly, Mike may not remember me, but that's okay. I picked up the book Discovering Romans, Spiritual Revival for the Soul, to purchase at this year's Shepherd Conference, and some guy and his son walked up to me and told me that the author who adapted that book was no good. The son told me he was a heretic. They both started laughing and said, "Just joking, I'm Mike Abendroth, and this is my son. So I just wanted to say, well, well played, sir. You got me." I don't know if you remember that occurrence.
Well, I wish I were just given the book for free then. See, that would have been... When we have visitors to the church, I regularly say, you know what? The people here at this church, you're going to really love them. I think they're going to be warm and friendly. You're not going to even think it's a typical New England church. And I'm just bragging about the church and praising God as he's working in our people. And then I say, you know, if you can put up with the pastor, I think you'll be fine. And then I walk off. And then 30 minutes into the service, they see me stand up and preach. So that's the way we roll there in Massachusetts.
And by the way, yeah, you have family up there in Massachusetts, yeah, Buzz. Yeah. You've got to get them to visit the Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston.
Yes, actually, I was going to go visit the church when I was up there visiting, but because of the family deals and all that stuff, we just never got around to going that far to church. But
that's a nice way to cover up sin.
Since I was visiting the family, I pretty much had to go with what they wanted to do. Right. But I had suggested it, and I was actually planning on dropping down to see you when I was up there.
Well, next time, make more of a
effort. Yeah.
No problem. Well, it's interesting when you talk about sexual sin and what to do about it. You know, there are some that want to just lay back and let God, or you see they just want some anointing or second blessing. Not that long ago, I was in London, and I visited John Owen and his tomb there. Thomas Goodwin is.
I'm glad you clarified what you meant by that.
Yeah, I know his tomb, and then I also saw Spurgeon's tomb, and I just touched it, and I had this. I don't really like tobacco, but I had this desire to smoke a cigar.
Well, as long as you didn't do anything freaky like Benny Hinn and lie down on the corpse or anything.
Benny Hinn never said anything like that.
By the way, if you watch Catherine Kuhlman, an old video of her with her white
suit, yes,
and then watch Benny Hinn with his white suit, he has perfected her actions, her verbiage, her cadence. He is definitely a disciple of Catherine Kuhlman.
By the way, do you know, I hate to go off the topic here, but it'll be very brief. Did you know that Benny Hinn's nephew is a Reformed Baptist? His name is Costi Hinn, and he publicly repudiates the heresies of the Word of Faith movement out of which he came. He is now biblically sound and on the pastoral board at this church where he is serving, and I believe it is in California, if I'm not mistaken. And his name is Costi Hinn. He's going to be my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron on Friday, September 8th, God willing, from 4 to 6 p.m. You want to mark your calendars down for Costi Hinn on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Well, I did know that, Chris, and I told Costi to come on Iron Sharpens Iron because I said, you know, this is my fourth time, and the $500 check per appearance is definitely worth it.
Oh, if that were only true.
So the listeners now understand why you need money.
Well, in the book, I talk a little bit about a Bible verse a day keeps the sex sin away. And I was trying to develop the idea that, you know, if somebody's struggling with sin, do we just give them a Bible verse? No, we should be much more compassionate than that. And, you know, here's a verse, you know, don't forget about that. Rejoice always again, I say rejoice. But the Bible is very central as the Spirit of God uses it, the Bible, God's Word, for sanctification. And that is why Paul says to the Colossians, let this Word of God dwell in you. Not just dwell in you, but dwell in you richly. And so I began to study Proverbs 2, 5, 6, and 7. And what the writer is doing there in Proverbs, he's saying, listen, it's a battle of the words when it comes to sexual sin or fidelity. And so the prostitute and the harlot and the cunning woman, the Potiphar's wife kind of woman, she's not going to entice you with her figure, with her, other appearances physically. But the focus in Proverbs 2, 5, 6, and 7 is this lady's going to come at you with your words, and she's going to say things that are going to make you follow her. So what Solomon says is, instead of listening to her words, you ought to listen to my words. And of course, the words that we have in Proverbs are scriptural words, are not God's word. And so we do not want to underestimate the valuable role of the word of God as the Spirit of God applies it by illumination and other conviction, other ways like that, the Word of God's role in sanctification. Yes, stemming from union with Christ, it's not our own work or anything like that, but we can't just say, well, we're just going to kind of float around. Over and over and over, Proverbs 6, my son, keep your father's commandment, forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 7, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Goes on in Proverbs chapter 2, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands. Over and over and over, my son, listen to the powerful words from God, or you will heed the lips and smooth speech of the adulterous woman. And so it's really a battle of the words. And if you show me someone who says they're a Christian and they're struggling with pornography or sexual sin, they're never in the Word. They're never going to have what we might say is victory over that. And so we want to remind people to let the Word of God dwell in them richly so that they can battle all kinds of temptation, including this one.
By the way, Daniel in San Jose, California, I believe I forgot to tell you that you have won a free copy of the book Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise by our guest Mike Abendroth, compliments of our guest, and also No Compromise Radio, and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, CVBBS.com, who will be shipping that out to you. We have another Daniel also in California, but this time we have Daniel in Bakersfield, California, and he says, hello, Chris, my question for Mike is, at what age do you think it is appropriate to talk to your child about sexual fidelity with one's spouse? The whole idea of talking to my children about sex scares me because I'm not sure if I'm exposing them to this topic too early. However, I want them to hear about it from me before the world tells them what to think. I want them to have healthy, godly sexual relationships with their spouses one day. Thanks.
I'm so glad, Daniel, you asked the question. And if Chris doesn't give you a free book, you're going to have to go to NOCO's website to get it. So I wrote a whole chapter about that topic. And here's the thing. With social media and with cameras now, that is, phones in everyone's pockets, I remember my son saying back in junior high, Dad, if somebody says, look at this in school, I had him at home school, private school, public school, but if one of his buddies down the street says, look at this, he knew it was going to be pornography. And so they learn at a very young age. And I wanted to have an experience with my kids different than I had. I learned about this topic from a kid down the street named Billy, and we were just kind of, you know, locker room talk type of thing. It is one of those times that is so precious when I, the dad, sat down with the child, we put the other kids in other rooms and stuff, with my wife sitting right next to me, to have what we call the talk. And I have four kids, I wish I have more kids than that, just because I wish I could do it again. It was so precious to just walk through these truths in the safety of a home with mom and dad. I would say most of the things, and my wife would chime in, and you know, with my girls, I would say, and you know what, if you have any other questions, you can always ask me, but you probably ask mom, you know, these other questions. And so that's the only time I ever talked about what happens physically, because sexual fidelity isn't a book on how to do it. And one of the risks of writing such a book is people think I'm some kind of, you know, Christianized version of Dr. Ruth. It's just, you know, has nothing to do with that at all.
Now I want to hear your German accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Genau. And so I wrote that chapter and said, listen, it's up to you, the parents, but when you're starting to think, I wonder if now's a good time, it probably is, just because of the hypersexualized culture that we have. And it's something that you can sit down. I kind of, you know, I think you should use anatomical terms when you're there and what happens, and the wife should chime in, and you can talk about all different things that you can, I'll just leave it for the book, but you should be the one. And you're the dad, Daniel. I think this guy's named Daniel, who just second.
Yes, same first two. Both of them have the same first name.
Yeah, yeah. So Daniel, you should be the one and say, "Honey, would you just sit with me?" And you pray. You talk about how God made bodies differently, and it's easier if there's brothers and sisters involved, because then the children, the oldest one, knows. Oh yeah, this is a male part. This is a female part, and how they're designed to fit together. This, that, and the other in marriage. It's pleasing, etc. And we're not going to talk about this to brothers and sisters or anything like that. It is a very sweet time. I would say the default for most parents is it's too late. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it and talk about it from a biblical perspective, but they wait, and they typically wait because they're either ignorant, afraid. I was embarrassed. I kind of got a red face, and when my wife said certain things, we laughed and giggled, but it was just sweet. I mean, innocent and right, and I think you won't regret it when you sit down and do that. And I tell people with the book, many people have asked me, can I read this with my kids? Yes, I've had men who go through this with their sons a chapter day and then just talk about it, and it brings up this topic in a healthy biblical way. I'd say if you've had the talk with your kids, they're old enough to read the book. If you haven't had the talk, then there's no sense having them read the book.
Well, Daniel number two in Bakersfield, California, you have also won a free copy of Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise by Mike Abendroth, compliments of Mike and No Compromise Radio, and also compliments of CVBBS.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, who will be shipping that book out to you. Make sure that we have your full mailing address. I'm going to read you a question, and then we're going to go to a break, and you can answer it when we return. This is from a first.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. That means I'm going to have to study.
Well, it's a first-time questioner, although Maggie in Dallas, Texas, has been listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for quite a while and has been very encouraging to me for a number of years on the Internet. This is the first time, I think, that she has ever submitted a question. And Maggie in Dallas, Texas says, I wonder if it's been addressed that sex is the one thing that God commands not to do, then commands to do. It's very distinctive in that way, which, in my opinion, gleans greater rewards for obedience. My question is the marriage bed truly undefiled no matter what, so long as the activity is between the two and they both consent? That's something for you to think about and pray about before you answer, and we'll have your answer when we return from our final break. If anybody else would like to join us, I would do it quickly because we're running out of time and we still have people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back, God willing, after these messages.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the last 90 minutes and the next 28 minutes to come is and will be Mike Abendroth. We are discussing his book, Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise, and we are running out of time, so if you want to ask a question, do it quickly by sending an email at chris2chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And before the break, as you know, Mike, we had a listener from Dallas, Texas, Maggie, who says, I wonder if it's been addressed that sex is the one thing that God commands not to do, then commands to do. It's very distinctive in that way, which in my opinion, gleans greater rewards for obedience. My question is the marriage bed truly undefined or undefiled? She said defined, undefined, but it might have been a typo there. It might have been because it's undefined in the sense that it doesn't have a full answer to her question. No matter what, so long as the activity is between the two and they both consent. And it's interesting, Mike, when I was doing my program out of New York on WNYG radio, a man called, it was a call-in show during those days, and a man called in and whispered that question and then said, gotta go, my wife's coming, and he hung up. But if you could, that's a very interesting question. It comes up a lot, not necessarily on this show, but I've heard it come up a lot in discussion on the marriage bed, and I don't know if you will ever get 100% agreement this side of glory on that question.
Yeah, well, thank you, and Maggie, I know you must have had a typo, but if your ideas of marriage bed are undefined, I will now define them for you. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed, the Greek word is where we get the word coitus, be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. That is Hebrews 13:4. And so to say a couple things to start, sex isn't only for procreation. It's also something for pleasure. People advocate sex only for reproduction, have to deal with this verse, Song of Solomon, Proverbs 5, and other passages. This sex is pleasurable for both the man and the woman in marriage, and it fortifies and undergirds matrimony, and they're satisfied with each other. It binds couples together. It gives. That's what love does. It wants to serve the other person. I think that's the overarching principle, even in pastoral premarital counseling that I would give. If you're concerned about giving to your spouse, even in the bedroom, everything will work out just fine. If that's your attitude versus receiving, then you're going to run into problems. And so just be, I'm trying to just be careful, because there are some things I would say about the subject in private or in counseling, but I just think it's inappropriate for radio. And someone once told me, if you ever say to yourself, should I say that or not, then you just don't say that. And so there are certain things that, of course, if you're concerned about pleasing your spouse and not receiving, then you're not going to force them to do things or anything like that. You'll see in Scripture, and that's one of the problems, by the way, of pornography, with all the crazy things that go on pornographic sites, and I don't know that to be true. I'm just imagining, because God has at least I don't struggle with that problem and haven't looked since I've become a Christian. But just simply enjoying your spouse. I think of Ecclesiastes 9. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun. Here, just enjoy your wife. And so just the simple pleasures of your wife. And if you're demanding things, expecting people to do things that they don't like to do or uncomfortable to do, then there are some issues. I think there are some things that could spread disease and other issues like that that I would say I wouldn't recommend, and I'll just have to leave it at that.
I'm assuming that...
I'm sorry, Chris. And what I did want to say is, yes, it's true, Maggie. The Bible forbids sexual activity, and then once you're married, the second God says... you say, I do, in the presence of God and these witnesses. It's now commanded, it's righteous, it's good. And does that yield the greater blessing for obedience? That would only be conjecture, but that's not a bad conjecture. But this is something that now God commands to do if the couple's able, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's just a foretaste of many other wonderful things that the Lord has for us. So,
and please, only after you leave the church building. That's one of the things that's...
Well, you think about the old days. It was a custom where... back in the Near East, someone would get married. Everybody would stand around outside the tent while the couple went in. And, I'm glad we don't do it that way.
That is a bizarre custom.
And I'm also glad we don't get baptized naked anymore and then get the white robe put on us to symbolize the righteous robes of Christ. I think we could just talk about that picture where we don't have to actually do it.
And I'm assuming a couple of things about your answer to Maggie. There are people who are involved in marital sex, but even in the involvement of thought, of other people involved, adulterous thought, I'm assuming that would not be something acceptable before God. And also risking physical injury for those who are involved in some of the darker areas of sexual activity. And I think that some of those things you might want to examine your heart, shouldn't you, as to why you would even find pleasure in some of those things.
Yeah, and again, this is difficult to talk about on the radio, but if, you know, a couple's been married for 30 and 40 years and the focus is all these kind of crazy things and new things and all that stuff, I think there's probably going to be issues with the person or the couple, because, see, even as I say this out loud, I just say, why am I talking about this? let's just bring it back to where we started. In a marriage bed, and the door shut, husband and wives have the full blessing of God to enjoy one another And obviously God has given you consciences, he's given you minds, and so if you're just working on trying to please the spouse and enjoy them, just simple things, even like how do you in Ecclesiastes enjoy a meal? You just think, you know what, if it's a great meal, if it's a simple meal, you just say, thank you, Lord. What a sweet reminder of your goodness in a fallen world. And you sit down and you enjoy some fellowship. It might be wonderful fellowship. It might be, fellowship that you wish would just take up your entire day, and you just go, thank you for that. And so too with a husband and wife. It's a good distraction. It's a good fortifier. It's of God, and it's exactly what the world doesn't say, and they don't say it's holy or righteous or anything else.
Well, thank you, Maggie. You've also won a free copy of Sexual Fidelity by our guest, Mike Abendroth. Keep your eye open in the mail. And we also need from you a full mailing address in Dallas, Texas, where cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship you your new free book. Keep writing in to Iron Sharpens Iron and keep spreading the word in Texas and beyond about the program. We have Rose in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Rose, I have to enlarge her font because it's very microscopic here. Rose in Harrisburg says, hello, Brother Mike. I don't really have a question for you, but I did want to say that I really appreciate your No Compromise radio show on YouTube. Your short, pithy videos are a blessing. Do more. Thank you and God bless. Well, that's Rose in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure Mike thanks you even more than I do for that. And we have Joe in Slovenia. I recently heard a discussion critiquing the courtship model that was popularized a few decades ago as a better biblical alternative to the typical practice of dating along the lines of secular forms. While the critique recognized that within our overly sexualized society, traditional dating creates many serious challenges to maintaining sexual purity, the courtship model also creates too many unnecessary pressures because it front-loads the whole process with thoughts of, is this person I'm interested in marrying partner material, in ways that are premature relative to the level and degree of involvement between young people. The gist of the conversation was that Christian young people need to be affirmed in casual dating designed simply to promote their being together in wholesome environments to get to know one another without sexual temptations or premature pressures to evaluate the other as a potential marriage partner. Both of these errors were seen as unhelpful for maintaining sexual fidelity. Please ask Mike to comment and advise us based on his study of Scripture. Thanks so much for your valuable ministry to us who listen daily. That's Joe in Slovenia.
Joe, I have a chapter on that in the book called Dating, Courtship, and Romance. And I basically said, I don't really care what you call this time, dating, courtship. You know, there are other things that people call it. But I just gave a few ground rules that I tried to do with my own children. None of my children are married. And they're all 16 or over. And the ground rules are simply, number one, no dating or courtship until your child's ready to get married. I don't really think they need to get together all the time, you know, as, you know, alone and hang out. And there's more to be said. But number two, no dating or courting that circumvents the father's direct involvement. I'm the leader, and God has ordained that, not because I'm better, but my daughters have been taught that if a guy says, I'd like to go out with you, and if the answer is no, thank you, be nice to the guy. It took courage for him to ask. But if it's yes, I'd like to, your next statement is, but you'll have to ask my dad. Well, that kind of gets rid of about half the guys. And then when guys usually ask, I like to say, oh, you know, I like my daughter too, and I'm glad you want to meet with her and everything and go out with her or whatever. Tell me about your job. Tell me about your health insurance and all that. And they're like, well, I don't have a job. I'm thinking, you want to date my daughter and you can't even afford her. You can't afford a copay. So that's the second one. Ground rule three, the couple's involvement and interaction should be done publicly, not privately. Number four, when the couple knows they want to marry each other and the parents agree, don't have a long engagement. And then ground rule five, relax and trust God. And so the biggest thing is to me, parent involvement. Dad needs to be involved. You go back to the Old Testament, and when the daughter lost her virginity, to a married man, what did Moses command? You take that girl in front of the dad's house and stone her, because it was his responsibility to guard the virginity of his daughter and children. And so dads just need to be involved. And I know I'm prone to laziness like every other man. Women have their propensities because of the fall, but for men, it's laziness. And Adam was to work and tend the garden, and he fell, and that's where his trouble comes. And so my problem is laziness. I just need to be involved. And I told my daughters, and to a lesser degree my son, but I said to my daughters, listen, we've helped you with everything in your life. We want to have you have the best doctors, go to the best school. We thought, think about friends. You know, you go to the best church in the world with the best pastor in the world. Oh, well, maybe not quite that, but anyway, we want to help you, and we'll help you find the right guy, because sometimes your emotions gets in the way, and that's why the church is important. The church will help you too. So, Joe and Slovenia, I hope a few of those thoughts help.
Yeah, I have a dear friend who is an ordained minister from the Deep South, and I can remember every time he was informing me about a new potential boyfriend for his daughter, he would always end the conversation with me in the same way. He would say, "Well, that guy came sniffing around here wanting to date my daughter, and I sat down with him, had a talk with him, and he never came back again." That was the way he always ended the conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have taken potential suitors to the gun range before, but that's a different conversation.
By the way, I have one critique. I brought this up even when I was interviewing a brother who wrote a book promoting the courtship model as the only acceptable, godly way to address the issue of interaction with those of the opposite gender. I would think that if you confine the interaction of young people to courtship only with the intention of marrying, I can't help but think that this is going to involve people who are only thinking, at least initially, of outward beauty or outward handsomeness, if you're talking about the girl. Because if you don't know anything about somebody, I mean, obviously, if you haven't dated them, and you've only seen them from afar, on the other side of the church or whatever, it's going to be hard to develop that kind of a lifelong commitment mentality with them. You're just going to be looking at that person and saying, "God has told me I am to marry this girl because she is strikingly beautiful." I mean, that's what. I mean, am I off base here? It seems like it would be at least the pitfall, at least one of the pitfalls to that. Very conservative approach to interaction.
Yeah, Chris, I think that's a good point. I mean, here's my philosophy. God says regarding elders in a local church, recognize the right kind of men, and they'll make the right decisions. There's not a whole lot of exact details on how to manage, shepherd, lead, run a church. You just need to have the right guys. And so since there's no prescription in the Bible about what parents should do, they're just descriptions, of course, you know, in the Old Testament, and Samson saying, "Go get me a wife." You know, that's biblical, but it's not a prescription. So I just think if the parents are Christians and they're involved and they ask God for wisdom, if they want to have some kind of dating thing or courting and they'd like to have certain rules apply or they change the rules or whatever, it's up to the parents. And I think if it was my daughter, I'd say, let's figure out a way you can get to know this guy better, or my son, let's get to know this girl better in other ways, in ministry at church or other activities, before you just base it on how they look. And so I would probably try to hedge the two, or I guess I could just have him work for the father-in-law for 7 years, but he might wake up with the cross-eyed.
And by the way, I think I forgot to tell Maggie, since you're a first-time questioner, not only did you win Mike Abendroth's book on sexual fidelity, you also won a new American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB. So that will be in the package along with the book by Mike Abendroth. And Joe from Slovenia, you've won our final copy of Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise, and we thank you for providing an American address in Georgia where your daughter lives, where that book will be shipped. And so tell your daughter in Georgia to keep her eye open for a book or a package from CVBBS.com. CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. CVBBS.com. We have Joe from Dublin, Ireland. And Joe from Dublin, Ireland, I also have to enlarge his email because it's microscopic. And it says, should we expect fidelity in marriage in today's insane world? The world is so messed up now with advertisements pushing kids to look sexy at such a young age, and they are starting to have sex when they are in their early teens. I don't think it will ever get back to at least talking about abstinence until marriage again. Thanks again. And, oh, this is a different, I'm sorry, I said this was Joe Riley in Dublin, Ireland. This is another individual. This is John in Simsbury, Connecticut. Thank you, John, for your question, and sorry for confusing you with our listener in Dublin, Ireland. Well, what is your comment to that? Obviously, we have to expect fidelity in marriage no matter what's going on in the world, right?
Yeah, you know, when people are saying, well, you know, they're going to do it anyway, so give them condoms. They're going to do it anyway, so give them this, you know, HPV virus, you know, anti-vaccine kind of thing, or antivirus or vaccine, whatever it's called. I just don't think that's what we do. And so when I just officiated a wedding of a young couple, I want to say he was 30 and she was 24-ish, and we were talking a little bit, and I said, you know, we're almost ready to have the kiss. I said privately to the couple during the marriage ceremony, and he said to me, this is the first time I'll ever have kissed her. And so I said, can I tell that to the congregation? Yes, it was very sweet. And when I'm in premarital counseling and people say, you know what, we're not touching each other, we're not putting our arms around each other, we've never slept with a girl, we're both virgins, I almost want to cry in my office. It's so sweet to hear them talk that way. And it is wonderful, and it can happen. But when it doesn't happen, then the way people need to think about it is, let's say one's a virgin and they're marrying someone who's not. They just don't need to talk about that, you know. They don't need to discuss it. They don't need to know how many boyfriends the person had or girlfriends, and the list goes on and on. The person just needs to say, listen, I'm a big sinner, and I didn't happen to sin with my body sexually, but I sinned in every other way, but God sees me as clean and white through the righteousness of Christ by imputation. And I need to see my wife, or I need to see my husband as God does, and that is cleanse from that area. And so that happens most often, you know, people when they get married, they have a sexual history of sexual sin, and it just needs to be forgiven and moved on, because you just don't need to have your mind running through all those issues.
And we have Seth in Greensboro, North Carolina, who says, Pastor Abendroth, as you are well aware, the number of men in church watching porn is staggering. Even more shocking is the admission of pastors who say they regularly view porn. We addressed this earlier. How would you recommend addressing a much-needed yet delicate issue behind the pulpit with women and smaller children in the audience?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I'll never forget the time when I was preaching through 1 Corinthians 7, and just going verse by verse, I started off in chapter 1, and God's faithful, and then worked through chapter 2, and got to 7. And there was kind of a, which I learned later, a homeschool family there, maybe home church, a couple of sons, a couple of daughters, and I just thought, oh, brother, what am I going to do? I'm basically going to say it's a sin not to have relations with your spouse if you're married and able, and here's what the Bible says about it. And a couple's at our church now, and they're a wonderful couple, and he just said, you know what? What's in the Bible I need to hear. I don't need to hear it in a crass way or a vulgar way or some kind of shock jock kind of thing, but I just want to know. And if it's in the Bible, it's appropriate. And the way God speaks is appropriate. And these are the words, you know, we believe in verbal plenary inspiration. So I think that's the way things have to be talked about. But then when it comes to pornography, what does the Bible say about pornography? You know, it's not addressed, so we have to think about a way to talk about it. So it kind of just goes over the heads of the young ones, but everybody else gets it. When I used to teach my kids the Bible, I'd go chapter by chapter for in Exodus or other books, and they were 2 years old and 12 years old. And if I said the word, something about sex, they would just, ignore it. They didn't know what it was. And then one day my son raised his hand. He said, Daddy, what's a prostitute? And I thought, well, I need to address this in a way that all the kids can understand, but they don't need to know more than they do. And necessary, I said, a prostitute's a woman who takes off all her clothes, gets in bed with a man who's not her husband, and he gets to do whatever he wants to her, including touch her. And my kids almost all wanted to throw up. They thought it was so repulsive. I think there's a way to talk scripturally about that in a pulpit, but then behind the scenes in the men's breakfast, at the men's discipleship, in the men's counseling sessions, you can talk about it more frankly, just about, just like I would talk about what a couple's able to do in the bedroom. I don't want to say on radio, but I would say privately.
We have a listener also from Greensboro, North Carolina, Pastor Sterling Vanderwerker of Shepherd's Fellowship of Greensboro, North Carolina, and he just has a commendation for you. Chris, great show. As a matter of fact, Pastor Abendroth is by far my favorite regular guest, straightforward and biblically founded positions and lessons. He is the best. That is quite a commendation. Now we have to pray for the sin of pride in Pastor Abendroth's mind.
Well, he's a think I'm the best until I remember him as Pastor Wonderworker.
We have, let's see, we have an anonymous listener in New York who asks, is it appropriate to have sexual fantasies about a woman that you are engaged to be married?
The answer is no, it's sinful. If you say to yourself, I'm engaged to be married, and the marriage is in 10 days, and you're counting down the days for time spent with her, having coffee, having breakfast, never having to say goodbye, spending time in the bedroom, I don't think that's wrong. But once you start taking the next step, what this is going to be like, and thinking about particular details, then it's wrong, because she's not yours yet, and you don't own her in the sense of her body's yours and your body is hers, that mutual kind of ownership. And so you can't do that. If a man who's married is on a business trip and he's thinking about his wife and his reunion when he gets home, that's legit because you're married. It's about the spouse, but this woman's not your spouse. And I don't know what you do. Maybe you go run a marathon, or maybe you go back to church or something, but you ought not to be thinking that way.
And our last anonymous question from Maine, the questioner asks, is it appropriate to have private conversations with a member of the opposite sex who happens to be your ex-wife? I mean, after all, we have to discuss things regarding the children that we mutually have. So where do we draw the line to secure purity in that kind of a relationship?
Yeah, okay, fair question. And what I would say is you just have to be transparent with your current wife and say, yeah, obviously, you know, honey, I have to talk to my ex about the kids and how to pick them, when to pick them up and all that stuff. You can always look at my phone. I'm not going to talk about anything except the kids, and wish my ex-wife the best. And I think that's going to be, you just have to take the high road, because she's not your wife anymore. And this has nothing to do with divorce, remarriage, you know, biblical positions of those topics. But if she's not your wife, then you just have to treat her like anyone else. And I have to talk to ladies in my life, but it doesn't mean I can't talk to any lady. It just has to be a measured conversation and appropriate.
Well, we have about 45 seconds for you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, Mike.
Sure. Every sin, including sexual immorality, is forgiven by the work of Christ. His death was so great that no matter what kind of vile, gross sin you commit, Jesus Christ's blood, it says, cleanses us and purifies us from all sin. And knowing that he's such a great Savior, we ought to respond with sexual fidelity and purity. It's never too late to repent. It's never too late to do the right thing. And there is opportunities to now teach our children and others in the church to think properly so they can worship God, even when it comes to the topic of sexual fidelity.
Great. Well, I want to make sure our listeners have your websites. First of all, the Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts website is bbcchurch.org. And as I've said every time I've read that website, you have too many C's in there, as far as I'm concerned. But it's bbcchurch.org. bbcchurch.org, bbcchurch.org, and then No Compromise Radio, where you can also order the book that we have been discussing. Just click on shop, S-H-O-P, when you get to NoCompromiseRadio.com, NoCompromiseRadio.com. Any other contact information you care to give, Pastor Mike?
If they want to go get a Kindle copy of Sexual Fidelity, you can get that on Amazon. But if you want a hard copy, you're going to have to go to the NoCo website. And as that one caller said, if you go to No Compromise Radio YouTube, there's probably 150 YouTubes people can watch about this subject and much more.
Great. Well, I thank you so much for being our guest today, Pastor Mike Abendroth. I thank Reverend Buzz Taylor for being my co-host. I thank everybody who listened, especially those who wrote questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.